gift and said, myrrh. The third boy stepped forward, held out his hand and said, Frank sent this. All right, then, praise God. Isn't God good? Now, we're not going to have the normal every Christmas sermon today for Christmas sermon. Matter of fact, we're going to do something a little bit different. How many in here are blessed? Now we're going to get real. How many want to get real? All right. How many in here are blessed but stressed? Okay. You think, you know God's blessed you, but you wish sometimes wish he wouldn't bless you so strong. Amen. Amen. Because watch this. We're going to talk about today the miserable blessing. Wow. Y'all can go by and say, I thought this was a Christmas message. I did too. Now where'd my Bible go? I have my Bible right in my hand. There it is. Praise God. I need a road crew just to keep me straight. Amen. Turn to the book of Luke. Stand for the reading of the word. The book of Luke, chapter 1. The book of Luke, chapter 1. We're talking about the miserable blessing. Sometimes we're blessed and miserable at the same time. Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 1. I just have Luke 1 up there. We're going to find a place to go here. Okay. Verse 5. You got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say, let me look on with you. Ready? Verse 5. There were in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and his name was, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. So not only was, according to their, that what they called it, not only was she dried up, a barren, but now they're both dried up with age. So there's two things drying them up. Amen. Some of y'all in here, you're thinking, well, I'm just dried up. No, no, no. Hold on. You're going to see what God can do. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and the wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Not Zacharias, John. For thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, thou that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show you these glad tidings. Glad? He's not sounding too glad, is he? And thou shalt not, listen, so God says, you don't think that's good enough for you. You don't think that's going to make you happy. I'm going to make you really happy. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass, as soon as the days of administration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. After these those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and herself, had hid herself 5 months. Wait a minute, now she said to be happy too, and she's hiding her blessing. Have you ever looked at the Christmas story quite like this? Zacharias should be exalted. I mean, should be just exalted and happy, and he doesn't believe the angel, so he's stricken dumb. He can't even speak. And I believe God didn't let him speak because he didn't want to speak negative in the middle of the blessing. Some of us, I think we'd be a whole lot better off if God would say, I'm going to bless you, now shut up. When they walked around Jericho, they walked around for 7 days, they didn't say a word. Why? Because God didn't want them to spoil the blessing. So many times we spoil our own blessing with our own big mouth and blame everybody else if we just keep our trap shut. Oh, I know this is Christmas time. Okay. Then I said the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, an angel Gabriel came, sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now she's doubting what God is saying. Think about the pretty little manger scene, and think about all the pretty angels and all that stuff coming, and then look at this. Look at the reality of the Word of God. And the angel said, and fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. For nothing, y'all say it, nothing shall be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary rose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered to the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, said, Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. For whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for these people. I ask you to bless them, Lord, in a very powerful way. Let them know, Lord, that it's okay to feel pressure. It's okay to feel that stress, because stress will actually make you before it breaks you if you do it right. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I love you, and I thank you for this day, and I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to bring your word in the name of Jesus. We pray, and the church said, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Now, this is not going to be your normal every Sunday message, so go ahead and know that to start with. When you start watching, you're going to say, huh? But I promise by the end, you'll go, oh, that's what he was talking about. All right, the miserable blessing. Did you know that the prosperity message has not only softened the gospel, but it has softened many pilgrims? We want the lap of luxury. I hear these preachers on television talking about you need to send me your biggest check so I can get my Learjet so I can go all over the place and preach prosperity to everybody. I heard somebody this morning talking about firing up his jet and how God had blessed him. And I just wanted, honestly, instead of me wanting to go get my check back out and write him a check, I wanted to go over by a trash can by the TV and throw up. I mean, how many here's got a Learjet they want to give away to this guy? Okay, so the prosperity message has actually softened so many people. They think that everything should be given to us on a silver platter. Matter of fact, the mindset is creeping to the church. So many people want to be an overcomer without the challenge of overcoming anything. Oh, come on, don't shout me down. They want to be an overcomer, but when something happens, they quit, they blame God, they walk away because they say, I thought it was going to be easy. Okay, we're going to find out just how easy it is. Praise God. We want the spoils of victory without the scars of battle. Wow. I see it more and more and more and more as these days go by. I was in a checkout line. There was only two checkout lines at the store. I'm going to tell you something. I asked God to forgive me. I asked Him to forgive me. I really did. Two checkout lines. They're both taking care of customers. One's not working. The other one, they're trying to figure out what she's got. So we're waiting in line and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. So finally, the other lady just pushed the other stuff aside because the line was so long. She said, I'll take the next one in line, which was me. I'd already had a rough day. It seemed like everywhere I go, I had to wait. And all the Christmas traffic, and I'd been to two or three different cities, been to a couple of hospitals, been to nursing homes. I've been all over the place. And so here I am. I'm trying to grab some supper and then stop by and get this vitamin so I can go take it home. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm even thinking, maybe I should just put the vitamin down. I'll come get it later. Finally, on the other side goes, she goes, I'll take whoever's next. Look me right in the eye. So I started walking. And the little girl behind me, I'll say little girl, she was in her 20s, almost knocked me down. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, and kept on walking to get checked out. And I said, no, you're not. I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, if you were really sorry, you'd have backed up knowing it was me, my turn, and let me go. And when I got through, I said, I can't believe I just said that. Then I really want to put the stuff down and walk out. But that day, I had had all I could take. I know none of y'all have that. I know y'all would have said, go ahead, dear. I know it's my turn. I know we've been waiting for 15 minutes, but go ahead. I don't mind. Go ahead. So forgive me that I weren't perfect that day. Normally I'm perfect, but I weren't perfect that day. So we want the spoils of victory without the scars of battle, but that has never been God's plan. Too many people live in a shallow victory. It's shallow because they've never actually fought the battle. They've never actually had the scars. I remember hearing Daniel tell me when he was in Afghanistan, he said, Daddy, if anybody comes and I go and I have to go out on a mission, I don't want to go out with some new guy that's never done anything. I want to go out with the guys that are proven and hardened and have scars. Because then I know they've got my back and I've got theirs. So, watch this now. This has never been God's plan. God is raising up a mighty army. Not afraid to face the challenges, not afraid to collect scars, to stand in the last generation, and to boldly declare, we will not go silently in the night. Our mind is made up. We're going to fight the battles. Amen. So what? Y'all saying, what's this got to do with Christmas? Oh, I ain't got started yet. Praise God. So. It's easy in this day that we live in, this day when everybody wants a handout. They all got their hands out. You know, when I see people come walking up to me in the parking lot, I know what they're going to do. Sir, and it's the same story. I'm from out of town, and I had to go to an emergency surgery, or I had to go to a funeral, and I have no money. Can you please help me put gas in my car? If I've heard that once, literally, I've heard it 100 times this year. The same story. And every last one goes, I know you think I'm just telling the junk because of all the other people, but I'm really serious about mine. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times. Now, Brandon and I were coming out of Krispy Kreme one night, and we saw the real deal. Matter of fact, we saw an angel that night. Because she said, all I need is $7.86 to pay for my medicine. Do you have $7.86? And Brandon didn't have any money, and I reached in my pocket. Brandon said, no, he ain't. I pulled out $7.86. That's all I had in my pocket. I said, Brandon, we just saw an angel, praise the Lord, that night. Amen. But not everybody meets you in a parking lot is an angel, I can promise you. But it's easy to lose sight of the real blessings, because real blessings don't always come without struggle. They don't always come without pain. And they don't always come with answers. I want to say it one more time. I counsel people all the time, and when they realize this, it makes life a little simpler for them, because they're thinking, well, if God's blessing me, everything should be perfect. If God's blessing me, I wouldn't feel any stress. If God was really blessing me, it would all fall into place. If God was really blessing me, there would be no struggle. There would be no pain. I would have answers. I'm here to beg the difference by looking at the Christmas story. Watch this. There is going to be struggle. There will be pain, and there will be time where you won't have any answers. Oftentimes it leaves us asking, Lord, if I'm so blessed, why am I so miserable? Well, thank you, son. You the man. Thank you. You and Sam are the man. This, hey, look, and this is holy water because it's purified. So again, how many in here has ever asked this? Lord, if I'm so blessed, why am I so miserable? I know I'm the only one that's ever asked that. God, if you're really working in my life, if you're really doing something, why am I feeling so rotten? Why am I feeling so much pain? Because here, watch this. The Lord showed me something years ago, and I don't like it, but it's how it works. I want y'all to watch this. Some of y'all have never seen this. You're going to like this. When you get through this, you're going to go, wow, I am so glad I heard this message today. Because watch, here it is. When God is blessing you, God didn't just go pour the blessings out. Whenever God blesses you, there's a purpose. And part of the purpose when God blesses you is to build you. He doesn't just give you a blessing. He has to prepare you to receive the blessing. He has to prepare you to give the blessing to somebody else. He has to prepare you to carry that blessing. So with every blessing, God is building you. And every time God is building you, there comes struggle. Every time. And the beautiful butterfly, when it's in the cocoon, do you know that butterfly, when it is a worm, a caterpillar, when it goes into its cocoon, it actually literally liquefies and turns into that butterfly. And even trying to get out, do you know even trying to get out of the cocoon, part of the reason that it has so much struggle to get out of the cocoon is because it's been wrapped up inside that cocoon. It's got these wings, and these wings are not prepared for what it's getting ready to face. And so as it breaks out of the cocoon, it has to scrub the wings up against it to break out of the cocoon. And when it scrubs up the wings, what it does is it shoots fluid into the wings, and it causes the wings to be strong enough for the butterfly, after it comes out and dries, to fly away. Some of y'all right now, you say, I don't even feel like I'm even the same person. If God's blessed me, why am I feeling so miserable? Why am I feeling so yucky? Why am I feeling so just broke down? Maybe it's because you've gone from the caterpillar stage, you're going to the butterfly stage, and you don't realize there's a metamorphosis taking place within you in the blessing. And when you come out of this thing, you're going to fly away. Praise the Lamb of God. God's going to bless you so much. But right now it's icky, and it's sticky, and it's miserable, and it's cramped, and you're dark, and you can't see what's going on around. You're saying, God, if I'm so blessed, why am I so miserable? Remember, blessings equal building. Building equals struggle. Struggle equals misery, temporary, and misery equals blessing. You say, well, show me that in the Word. Here you go. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That word affliction means distress, tribulation, misery. Paul, when he called it a light affliction, that word light affliction means a small push. So I'm going to tell you what's going on in this small push. Paul was beat with rods. He was shipwrecked. It talks about all the things he's gone through, being beat with rods, being left for dead, being stoned, all the things that he went through that would kill an average man, and he called it a small push compared to what's coming. Some of y'all in here feel like you've been beat with rods, and you feel like you've been left at sea, and some of you feel like you've been left for dead, and you wonder, God, are you even watching? And God says, compared to what's coming, it's a small push. Not making fun of what you're going through, not taking lightly what you're going through, but in comparison to what you're getting ready to have come your way, it is a small push. So now, I told you, I'm getting to the manger scene, I promise. Eventually. All right. The anatomy of a blessing. Whenever God gives you a promise, it takes time for that promise to take place. We live in a microwave society. We live in convection ovens, and we got all this stuff. You just go ahead and cook it in no time, and you have it popped out, ready to go. But I can tell you what, if you take my grandmama used to have chickens running around the yard, and every now and then, I remember the time there was an old rooster. That rooster used to peck me. He drew blood. He got the other grand youngins, and finally one day she got a new rooster. So this rooster had lost his purpose. And so she said, I got something for him. So she goes out in the yard and grabs him. And he goes for a little trip. And she takes that old tough rooster and she puts him in her little, they weren't even have crock pots back then. It was called a pressure cooker. And she put it in a pressure cooker. And I heard it going, how many has ever seen a pressure cooker? How many's in one right now? And I remember going, Grandma, so what's going on? She says, you mean like that old tough rooster you got? Or we got? I said, yes, that old mean rooster, so tough and mean. I said, yes. She said, if I tried to fry him, you couldn't eat him. She said, but I got something for him. I'll put the pressure on, and he can't stand it. It'll soften him right up. And so it took a while. When it finally stopped, I knew, here we go. And she took it, and she put it with pastry, and it was the most tender, awesome rooster. Matter of fact, I forgave him for pecking me when I ate him. I'm sorry. You're forgiven. Man, pass me another leg, Grandma. Oh, he's awesome. Yeah, thank you, rooster. Whenever God gives you a promise, it takes time. He told Abraham he was going to have a seed. And so Abraham does all he can to do it himself. That's why we have all this problem going on in the Middle East, because Abraham decided he was going to fix it himself. So when every time there's a problem or a promise God gives you, God never gives you a promise without first giving you a problem. Oh, come on, don't shout me down. He gives you a promise and he gives you a problem at the same time. The problem was they were barren. So how in the world can Sarah, who's barren, have a baby? And God says, look, Abraham, quit trying it on your own. All you're doing is working works of the flesh. You got to do it my way. My way is the work of the Spirit. But Sarah is barren. Well, guess what? You don't need Hagar. You don't need the servant. You don't need this. You need to trust me and watch what I'll do. So anatomy of a blessing. First, there's the promise. Then there is the problem. That's the test. Well, if God says I'm going to have a baby and I've never been able to have a baby before. Some of y'all in here right now, God's telling you that he's going to use you in certain ways. You're going, well, you've never used me that way before, God. I can't do that. And God says, yes, you can. You see, not only did he give you the promise, which takes time, but he gives you the problem, which brings you a tremendous test. And then finally, the path, the testimony. If you let go and let God, something amazing happens. So watch this. We're getting ready to get to the manger scene, all right? No matter, it's not a matter of earning your blessing. You cannot earn your blessing. Somebody say you can't earn your blessing. You can't earn it, all right? Look, it's not a matter of earning your blessing, but it's a matter of letting God build you to be able to handle the blessing. You know, if God was to give me $1 million now, I'm pretty sure that this church would really, really, really have an awesome time. But if he'd have gave it to me 30 years ago, I'd have went, hello, Hawaii. Oh, come on, y'all. I know all y'all take all the money and you put it right here in the church, wouldn't you? I'd build houses for the homeless. I'm telling you, I do a lot of stuff. I do a lot of good with that $1 million right now. Matter of fact, I asked the Lord Lord, if I could win $1 million in the lottery, I would put it in the church. And he finally reached out to me and said, well, buy a ticket. I kept praying to win. He said, you got to buy a ticket first. Amen. But if you'd have given it to me when I was 20 years old, I would have took that $1 million and I'd have gone and it wouldn't have lasted me 6 months because I had not been built to handle the blessing. Some of y'all in here, you've heard the blessing proclaimed over you. You know it's there, but you haven't seen it come to fruition yet. You're wondering, God, have you forgotten? God says, no, I'm building you to prepare you to handle the blessing. So remember, whenever God blesses you, it builds you, but it also glorifies God. If the blessing God gave you does not glorify him, then I doubt either you have not been built or you don't understand. So here we go. Here's the miserable blessing. We're getting back to we're getting ready to the manger scene. Y'all say, praise God. Hasn't this been a good Christmas message so far? Okay, get ready. The miserable blessing starts. We just read it. Watch this now. This is so awesome. I'm just going to be quick about it. Zacharias and Elizabeth. Very quickly, Zacharias doubts the angel's message. He is miserable. Zacharias says, because he doesn't believe him, he's stricken dumb. He's even more miserable. Elizabeth is happy, but she's hiding because she's miserable. according to Josephus, one of the reasons she was hiding is because she hadn't even felt the baby kick. According to a historian, she had not felt the baby kick. And when Mary arrives, the baby leaps with joy and the Holy Ghost is in the room. And then now she gets happy because she finally feels the baby move. But she's still miserable. When Zacharias' mouth is finally open, he delivers the name John and then praise God. So they were miserable for 9 months. But oh, it gets better. Let's go here. You ain't got your Bible. I'll put it here for you. And then the 6th month, angel was sent from God, in the city of Galilee under Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." The miserable blessing story continues. Because watch this. The angel appears to Mary and says, "You're highly favored and you're blessed." He left that apart. And he could have just added, "And you're going to be stressed." You're highly favored. God's shining down on you. God loves you. God loves you so much, he's going to bring his son from you, but you're not going to know a man in order that this son can be holy before God. So now, here comes the rest of the miserable, Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. Here's the rest of the miserable blessing. Watch this. This is so awesome. Some of y'all are miserable right now just looking at me. Ready? No. First, Mary has trouble believing the angel, and she was miserable. She goes and tells Joseph, "Hey, honey, back in that day, once you became engaged, it was considered a legal binding contract. Although you had not consummated marriage, it was a legal binding contract, only able to break it by divorce." You couldn't take it to court. If you couldn't take it, or you just couldn't say, you got to leave. You had to go to court to break up an engagement. Isn't that something? So she has trouble believing this angel because she says, "You're going to conceive and you're not even going to know a man. You're just going to know that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you." So she goes and tells Joseph, "Hey, honey, guess what? I'm pregnant. But I've never been touched by a man." All right, everyone, you in here. Every man that's married, if your wife come to you before you got married and said, "Honey, I'm pregnant, but not by man," what would you do? What would you say if your wife came up to you and you know that you had not touched her and she says, "Honey, before we get married, there's something you should know. I'm pregnant, but I'm pregnant with God's baby." Oh, really? Okay. So the Bible says, now Joseph has trouble believing Mary, and he's miserable. So now Mary's going to start showing. She's got to tell everybody what's going on. Nobody's going to believe her because they've never heard of the Immaculate Conception before. They've never had the Holy Ghost come upon people. Although John was a miracle baby, still it was through the act of procreation. Samson was a miracle baby, but it was through the act of procreation. There's no procreation. It's an Immaculate Conception between the Holy Spirit and Mary. And how in the world do you explain that to a bunch of religious people? Oh, God just blessed me. Really. So the Bible says Joseph is even pondering. He doesn't want to stone her because one of the penalties of this was she could be stoned in the city by everybody because she was pregnant without Joseph. And so Joseph could have had her drug in the city and they could have stoned her dead. But Joseph didn't want to make a big scene, so Joseph was going to privately, without pomp and circumstance, was going to put her away, meaning divorce her privately. And so he's going to divorce her, but the Holy Spirit comes to him, or God comes to him in a dream and says, hold on, Mary's telling the truth. What you see is she's carrying the Christ child. And this is the way it's got to be. Trust me, it's going to be okay. So Joseph comes in with all the shame, and he's got a pregnant woman. When they went to Bethlehem, she was showing. I mean, she was showing. She was about to burst. And so he's going to Bethlehem with a wife how can he explain to people that she's pregnant without him? He's marrying her, which is not what a good Jew would do. And they're trying to say that she was the product of an affair with a Roman soldier. So you got all this stuff going on. So they're miserable. God says you're highly favored and you're blessed and you're stressed and you're miserable. Some of you here right now, God's blessed you more than you ever could imagine, and you're so miserable. And you're saying, God, I don't want any more blessings. Sometimes I get so blessed, and I look back in one side, and I see the blessing. I look on the other side, see the bless, and I see the stress. And we take bless and stress and put it together and shake it up and throw the words out, and it spells misery. So here's Joseph and Mary, miserable. Then to make matters worse, he's got to go to his hometown to file taxes. So he goes to Bethlehem. He had to go 90 to 100 miles. He's carrying a pregnant woman. She's probably on a burro. He can only travel about 10 miles a day. So this is about a week and a half trip with a pregnant woman getting ready to burst at the seams. Can you imagine? I imagine all the way to Bethlehem, he was just jumping and raising his hand and praising God. No, he was miserable. But I'm blessed! Yeah, you're blessed. You're blessed, you're stressed, and you're miserable. You know, if you could get this in your mind today and get it in your heart, I honestly believe you'd feel a whole lot better when you left here. Because it's going to get better, I promise. Some of y'all are saying you better start working on it now because it ain't got better yet. Well, it always gets darkest before the dawn. Who have you ever heard that? Okay, here we go. So then upon arrival, there's not a hospital. There's not even a room. And you see these pretty little manger scenes with all this pretty little wood built up like down here. More than likely, it was a cave. A cold, dark, damp cave full of stinky, snotty animals. There's not even a cradle. So they take a feeding trough and put the baby Jesus in the feeding trough as the manger. The manger was a feeding trough. Put the baby in the feeding trough, wraps it in the milk rags that they use to wipe themselves whenever they milk the cows, wrap the baby in these milk rags and stuck it inside, in the cave, inside the feeding trough. Can somebody say the word I'm looking for? They were miserable. They were blessed, but they were miserable. I know y'all were thinking, what kind of Christmas message is it? We ain't through yet. Hold on. The shepherds were watching their flock by night. The shepherds couldn't leave their flock. So either they had to bring their whole flock into Bethlehem, or they had to leave somebody with them, and they had to journey in the night, which meant nobody journeyed in the night because at night there were thieves out there and there was bad obstacles. So there's all this bad stuff that can happen. But the shepherds are maneuvering because the angel said, you need to go see what's going on. So now the shepherds are finding their way in the night and listening for every bump and every cranny and every hoot owl, because now they're on the way. We're allowed to get taken by thieves and robbers. Some of y'all said it like you were miserable already. They were miserable. Then the wise men, they traveled 2 years to get there, because by the time the wise men get there, it's no longer in a cave. Now they're in a house. And not only they're in a house, but it's no longer called a baby. It's called a child. And so about 2 years, and Herod, these guys had to travel at night. If they're going to follow a star, they don't follow a star in the daytime. They follow a star at night. So the wise men, they had to travel at night for 2 years. It might not have taken so long if they could have done it in the daytime. But they had to travel at night to get to Jesus. So they finally get there after 2 years, and they gave them gold, myrrh, and frankincense. This. Again, blessed, highly favored, stressed, and miserable. And then, they're uprooted in the middle of the night. The angel comes to them and says, get the baby out of here. Get the child away from here. Go to Egypt. It's not going to be good around here. Because Herod says, when did you see this star? And he said, when he told him the star, he said, okay, I want every child from 2 years old and below, every male child, because I don't want a king rising up against me. I want you to go in, and I want you to kill every male child 2 years and younger. How many has ever looked at the Christmas story like this? Wow. Blessed, highly favored, stressed, and miserable. Now you're going to say, well, can you please make something good happen? Here it goes. Get ready. Y'all know the end of the story. Y'all know it's good. Okay. Y'all just ain't looking like it. They're miserable, but they're blessed. I want you to remember something in your life right now. You never judge your blessing during the process. You always judge your blessing by the end product. Sometimes you may be getting ready to get a promotion, and you don't know that the other guy's going to wind up dying. You wind up going to his place, and you think, wait a minute, he was my bud, he was my partner, he was awesome, I learned a lot from him, now he's dead, and now you're thrust into that position. God's blessing you, but you're miserable. Or something happens, and you're expecting God's going to give you a new car. God, my car is awful. I can't stand the way that car is. I mean, it's a death trap. And I just really need a new car, but I can't afford one right now. And all of a sudden, somebody tail ends you at a stoplight, hurts you, gives you whiplash. And you're thinking, how is this a blessing? And all of a sudden, you go to the insurance company, says it's totaled out, but here's a new car for you. So listen, again, miserable, but blessed. I'm just bringing it to us now. Or you may have cancer, and you're thinking, God, if you could just heal me of this cancer, and the doctor comes and says, if I'm going to heal you of this cancer, I got to remove that leg or move that arm, or I got to do this or that, or I got to do such and such. And you say, but if you do that, then that's not healing me. He says, if I don't, it's going to kill you. Do you know that Garfield, and I'm going to use this later on for another sermon, but President Garfield was only president for 6 months. 6 months. He gets an assassination attempt. He gets shot in the back. The bullet hit nothing major. It did not cause him, was not going to cause him to die. But he got hit in the train station while he's laying on the train station floor. They go in, 12 doctors come up, and they start gouging for that bullet with their fingers. There's all kinds of infectious stuff down on the railroad floor. They did not believe the rail station floor. They didn't believe in germs at the time. And so this guy gets an infection. And 2 months later, he's dead, not from the bullet, but from the doctors. Wow. When the guy was being executed for shooting the president, he said, I shot him, but I didn't kill him. The doctors did. You see, I thank God that our doctors know a lot now. And if it means I got to lose my arm that I can live, then okay, because there's the blessing. I'm miserable because I'm a musician. I'm miserable, but I'm still alive. So again, never judge your blessing during the process, but by the end product. So now, here we go again. We're going back down. Get ready. See him in there, and see him traveling across the desert? The process makes you tough. God, before he ever used anybody mightily, he always put them through the wilderness. They're blessed. They're awesome. But God puts them through the wilderness. Why? Because when you're in the wilderness, it's there to purge your motives. Why am I doing what I'm doing anyway? It's there to purge your faith. Am I going to stand up straight during all these obstacles? Am I going to keep on going with all these obstacles? Or am I going to let fear get a hold of me and stop me? So God, again, is building you to receive the blessing. I love this scripture. We're getting ready to close. Somebody say, praise God. So I feel the misery leaving. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Watch this. I created thee, O Jacob. Created. And I formed thee, O Israel. I created thee, Jacob. But I formed thee, O Israel. Some of y'all in here, God's trying to make an Israelite out of you. And you can't understand why it hurts so bad. But you don't realize he created Jacob, but he formed Israel. He put him through the ringer. He had to go with his uncle Laban and all the things that went on with there and all the things going on, the trickery with his wife and all this stuff going on. But God was building him because he was getting ready to be the father of these 12 guys called Israel. So he was Israel. God took Jacob and formed Israel. Some of y'all in here are being formed and you don't even realize what's going on. He said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers that shall not overflow thee." That word water there literally means when you go through the septic waters, the stinky waters. "They will not, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers that shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall a flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel." And I'm going to read these two and then we're getting ready to close. Y'all can shout any time. Not because I'm quitting, but because it's such an awesome. I smell it burning. All right, blow it out. Okay. No, I can't until I get through. Here we go. I want to keep smelling it burning so y'all won't think I'm crazy. Listen. Isaiah 43, the NLT, New Living Translation. "But now, Jacob, listen to the Lord who created thee. O Israel, the one whom formed you, say, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When thou walkest through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And then the message. "But now, God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid, for I've redeemed thee. I've called your name and your mind. When you're in over your head," that's good. I'll back that one up again. Matter of fact, some of y'all can do this. Watch this. You ever have to breathe like this because you're in over your head? Okay. "Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called you, your name, your mind. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in the rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end because I am God, your personal God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you, all of Egypt, rich Cush and Seba thrown in." Wow. Isn't that cool? There she is. Here we go. Ready? And finally, thank God for the miserable blessings. Thank God for your miserable blessings. Somebody say, thank God for the miserable blessings. There you go. Here we go. I read this article after I was already working on this sermon. I read this article and it was so awesome. I thought I would just read it to you. How much does Christmas cost? "Welcome to Christmas holiday. Retailers have packed their stores with enough merchandise to satisfy every wish. I went into the drugstore the other day, and another reason why I was really ill when I went to checkout line. Not only had to wait 15 minutes, I'm up there looking at some last minute gifts, and I turn around and I see Be My Valentine. And I love you this much." And I said, "That doesn't sound like a Christmas gift." And they're already moving the Christmas gifts over, and they had the Valentine stuff. To them, Christmas is just money. Okay. "Resorts are filled with enough merchandise to satisfy every wish. Frenzy is synonymous with shopping, and children can hardly contain their eagerness for Santa's arrival. Have you begun shopping for those on your gift list? How much will Christmas cost you?" Here it goes. Ready? Here, come on. "It cost Mary and Joseph the comforts of their home and the comforts of their own reputation. It cost them a long period of exile in Egypt to protect the infant Jesus. It cost mothers in and around Bethlehem the slaughter of their baby boys ordered by King Herod. It cost shepherds their routine life with the call to the manger and to tell the good news at the expense of maybe being robbed. Or killed. It cost the wise men a long trek, 2 years, expensive gifts, and changed lives. It cost the early apostles and Christians persecution and oftentimes death. It cost the missionaries of Christ untold suffering and hardship to spread the good news. It cost Christian martyrs in all areas their lives for Christ's sake. It cost God the Father his own Son. He sent him to the earth to save men, and he knew that he was going to be beaten beyond recognition and slaughtered, not just killed, slaughtered as the Paschal Lamb. And it cost Jesus a life of sacrifice and service, and the most of all, a most savage death. In the end, seeing how much it costs them, how much does it cost us? Let's all stand. God is awesome. I've seen the time where I felt highly favored. I've seen the time where I felt blessed. But during it all, in the middle of it all, I had that misunderstanding that highly favored and blessed meant no stress. Look at what happened to Jesus, our prime example, coming to this earth to save us. Look at all the struggle it took to get him here, to the manger. That's not including all he did along the way, but just to the manger. Look at all the stress and how miserable everybody was, even though they had the favor and blessing of God. Lord, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, God, to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, help us, God, to understand that blessings does not mean no stress. It does not mean no struggle. It does not mean we're going to have answers. But in the output, the outcome is what we need to look for, not the process. Because there's always pain and struggle in the process. Let me ask you right now, while everybody by your head, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Start with, if you're here this day and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm just going to ask you, while nobody's looking around, I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to ask you to raise that hand so I can pray for you. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, would you raise that hand? I need to know him before I leave this place. Bless him, Lord. Bless him. Maybe you're here and you knew him, but you just got away from him because you didn't realize the stress and the misery with the blessing. It's a mixture. And you let go too early. You pushed away too soon. And now you're miserable not because of God's blessing. You're miserable because you've run the other way and you don't have a firm grip on the hand of God, on his word. He doesn't have a grip on your life. If I'm speaking to you right now while nobody's looking around, we just raise your hand and say, that's me. I've lost my grip. I've lost it. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here and you got a grip. Some of you may have come in and said, Lord, this is my last Christmas serving you if something don't happen. Because I'm telling you, I see other people blessed. I don't see them that stressed. I don't see them miserable like I am. Well, you might not see it, but I promise you it's there. I promise you that they can feel the stress of the blessing. Remember, when God's going to bless you, he always has to build you. And in the building process is struggle. And in the struggle is misery. When they made the anointing oil, they had to crush the olives. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, not only, look, Gethsemane means a crushing. And he was there. He was being crushed. He had to be crushed, crushed, crushed before he went to the cross. He said, Lord, if there be any, Father, if there's any other way, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was miserable in that garden, so miserable that his sweat became as drops of blood. Jesus knows what it's like to have that miserable blessing. You're here today, you and God, y'all are together, but either you don't know how much longer and or you just honestly are tired because you're saying, how come other people are blessed and I'm so stressed? If I'm so highly favored, why am I stressed? If I'm so blessed, then why do I feel so miserable? You know, I heard Garth Brooks sing a song years ago, said, I'm much too young to feel this old. Well, we're much too blessed to feel this miserable. So you're saying, God, what do I do? And I'm going to tell you, trust him, because one day the cocoon's going to open and you're going to be a different person. It's going to be awesome. A transformation will take place. If I'm talking to you right now, you're okay with God, but you're miserable. You're needing something from God to touch you today, to sustain you, to give you strength. When nobody's looking around, would you just raise that hand? God, that's me. That's me. I'm miserable. I am miserable. I am so stressed. I need something. You said my family will be blessed, and I don't see them blessed. You said that my life will be blessed. I'm not seeing the blessing right now. You said that I would have peace, and I'm not seeing the peace right now. All I'm seeing is misery. Hold on. God is in control. On everybody that will. If you raised your hand or one or two and didn't, or you have another reason, just come on up here. We got plenty of time. Come on up here. Come on. Come up here and pray and talk to the Lord. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. God, I need you. I need you to help me. I don't understand. I'm miserable. I'm absolutely miserable, God. You got to help me here. I thought blessings were without stress. I thought that it was going to go good, and I'd feel all hunky-dory inside, and I'd just feel awesome, and that everything would be great. And that's not that way, God. I'm feeling miserable. God, I need your touch. God, I need your touch. Touch me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father. I can't do it on my own. I cannot do it on my own. I trust you, God, to take care of this, Lord. I trust you, God. Lord, I know that I'm supposed to be blessed. I know that everything's supposed to be falling into place. But God, as it's falling into place, it feels like I'm falling out of place. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. There's a song by Casting Crowns that says you feel like your life's falling all to pieces. And it says, no, it's falling all together. Thank you, God, that our life has fallen together. The blessing, the building, the struggle, the misery, all turns out to be blessing. Don't judge the process. Judge the final product, not the process, because the process hurts. The process is aggravating. The process will drive you mad. The process will have you wondering, does God even see you? When Paul was on the way to Rome, to minister, he had to get in that shipwreck. And when the shipwreck, he tried to tell the guys, don't do this, it's going to cause problems. They did it anyway. And here they all, these guys are all miserable. The ship's tearing apart, and they want to kill all the prisoners. And Paul says, no. Not one man's going to lose his life if you trust the Lord. He was on the way to preach to the king. To the king. And he got stopped along the way in that shipwreck. A miserable blessing. I notice it in the common, normal Christmas message. But I really hope that it has ministered to you today. Am I saying that Mary didn't say it was worth it? Mary said it was worth it. Yes, it was worth it. I'm sure Joseph thought it was worth it. I know the wise men, the shepherds especially, you know that because you heard it out of their mouths. It was worth it. But let's don't think that it was just some little piece of cake where they walked across the street and everything was taken care of. There was reputations at stake. There was people talking about them. There was all kinds of things happening. It was just terrible. It's a terrible time. But the blessing was in the product, not the process. Because of their willingness to go all the way, we're standing here today. I want y'all to say this, God, thank you for your favor. Thank you for your blessing. And thank you for the stress and the misery that comes with it. I will not longer look at the process, but I will judge the final product. In the end, we always win. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody stand up. Now, we got a parade going on today. We need all hands on deck. All hands on deck. You say, well, I didn't sign up for anything. You don't have to. Come on, we'll put you to work. We'll find something for you. I promise you we'll find something for you. But come on, we need all hands on deck. It's important. This parade is, it started out, actually, we never expected it to be like this. We just thought it was going to be some small thing where people rode their bikes and pulled carts and stuff along the way, and it wound up being this thing that's going on that's awesome. And so I know God's in it, and I trust Him. I know it's going to rain a little bit later today, but I know, y'all help me, God will let it rain until we get through with the parade. I did check the weather, and it's not supposed to rain until between 5 and 6. Okay? So we're going to be all right. And I promise you, if it rains a little bit, it'll be okay, because when we skydived the other week, DC dove off in the rain. Matter of fact, DC, they told me, they said, you feel it rain on you? I said, yes, ma'am. Well, I was looking at DC going way up in 2 miles in the sky. And they said, well, he's not feeling the rain. I said, he's not? She says, no, he's feeling ice. I bet you didn't even feel it when you jumped out. You did? Okay. It was ice, and he jumped through the clouds. I said, well, man, I'd love to jump into ice. Amen. That was awesome. Well, just look. It's going to be okay. We've had it rain on us before. None of us melted. A few of us floated back here, but it's okay. You love God? Isn't God awesome? Brother Wayne.
Let us pray. Our Father in God, we come to you today with the biggest of thanksgiving in our hearts, thanking you for loving us as you do and caring for us and taking care of us. Father, thank you for this season, a little bit of fun. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, as we depart these walls today, let us go out and spread the joy that you provided unto us, Lord. Continue to bless this church, Lord, and bless this community. This and all things ask in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.